It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicing with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And, man, it's been a lot of endings. Been a lot of endings over the last few days. It's currently Tuesday, the 16th. Wow, it became December 16th out of nowhere, and I am back. Back from Chicago, back in Minnesota. I get a little break till the end of the year, although I do have a little sickness still. Remember on the last episode when I said, oh, I hope I'm coming down off my sickness. Yeah, we never really came in off of that sickness, but it is what it is. We also have a lot of stuff that has ended so far. The final event of the UFC for 2025 came to an end, and yeah, it was a success. I went 10-1 on predictions. It was a good event, to say the least. I also was able to catch the John Cena finale. That is right, the final match of John Cena's career. We're going to be giving our thoughts on that as well on today's episode, and the NFL. Going to be giving a little update on what happened in week 15 of the NFL season. A lot of fun stuff. And then rest of the year, you know, a lot of it's going to be our end of the year rankings, end of the year awards, looking back on the UFC, everything we liked, everything we disliked. Of course, our recap of the entire year. A lot of fun stuff happens after the UFC events end, but, you know, with the Paramount events not coming on until January 24th, for goodness sakes, I mean, it's a whole month. We still have over a month until the next UFC event. I'm going to need to be filling ourselves with something to keep ourselves entertained. So I will make sure that the Special Podcast never dies and we keep on bringing you banger episodes. But the one thing I'm not going to get any more of is banger John Cena matches. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, John Cena has officially retired, and he had his final show in Washington, D.C. at Saturday night's main event, and they couldn't have chosen a more dull location. No, I'm just kidding. Washington, D.C., the crowd was good. Crowd was good for this. They were hot. They were heavy. They were very pro-John Cena. But the one thing that I don't understand is why this had to be a two-hour show. Like, there's just no reason to make it a two-hour show. It was on Peacock, wasn't on live TV, and, you know, it is what it is. But kicked off the show, Cody Rhodes versus Obafemi ends in a no contest after Drew McIntyre interferes. But the one thing I will say about that is that Obafemi's ready for the main roster. All right, if none of you know who Obafemi is, he's about to become one of the next big stars of the WWE. He is awesome. I love Obafemi, and the one thing I worry about him is that they're going to nerf him when he comes to the main roster, because he is he's the greatest NXT champion of NXT. He's the greatest, I mean, NXT potential wrestler. I mean, this guy is awesome. I know we still have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, but really, you know, this new era of NXT is going to be defined by Obafemi coming to the main roster. And as for Cody Rhodes, he's currently QB1 for the WWE, and unfortunately they still have Drew McIntyre and him feuding together. I thought that ended in September. I guess not. Those two are just going to feud away, and it looks like Drew McIntyre will be the filler feud until WrestleMania 42. But yeah, Obafemi will be back to NXT. Hopefully he is called up soon. I'm hoping as soon as the Royal Rumble. Like, if I'm being honest, like, let's get this guy to the main roster. After that, we had Sol Ruka taking on Bayley, and we actually had an NXT star win. That's right, Sol Ruka defeats Bayley, 9-minute, 25-second match. It was awesome. You know, I like Sol Ruka. She's going to kill it when she comes up to the main roster. And as for Bayley, she's just a legend in the game. Going to the Hall of Fame for sure. She's wonderful. After that, we had AJ Styles and Dragon Lee, your tag team champions, taking on Javon Evans and Leon Slater. Funny enough, Leon Slater isn't even in the WWE or NXT. He's in TNA, which is an entirely different wrestling promotion. So it's really cool to see them being showcased on, you know, WWE television. And this match was only given 6 minutes and 30 seconds, but it delivered. It was a banger. It was fun. AJ Styles is going to be retiring this upcoming year, which is even more depressing because AJ Styles is a legend. And Dragon Lee is the future of Lucha Libre. So, always fun to see that. Javon Evans is younger than me. He's like 21 years old or something. He's also the future of WWE. So, this was a big showcase of the future of WWE up until we got to the main event, which was Gunther versus John Cena. And I'm sure you've heard, you know, I'm sure everyone has talked about it, but yes, they had John Cena tap out in his final match ever. I mean, just insane. Just insane. It makes no sense to me. It really doesn't. If anything, it's a big F you to reality, you know, never give up. Well, when the time has come, you can give up. I mean, they couldn't even let him pass out. Like, they had to make him tap. I just find that utterly, completely ridiculous. As far as the match goes, I mean, it was okay. You know, good match. You know, John Cena and Gunther. Gunther's an amazing in-ring wrestler. John Cena's a great entertainer. Crowd was very pro-John Cena, which I love, but yeah, everything just felt so screwy. And then after it was over, everyone was just in shock. And then Triple H came out and the entire WWE locker room came out. Everyone was just booing Triple H. And, you know, the John Cena retirement was kind of overshadowed at the hate for Triple H. So if anything, Triple H basically is, you know, becoming the next Vince McMahon. Like, I kid you not, Triple H is becoming the next Vince McMahon before our eyes. And we're not even going to be, like, you know, shocked when it happens. Because he's just been screwing us over. You know, Vince McMahon was a evil man behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, he was a good, you know, he gave us entertainment. And as far as Triple H goes, you know, he just booked the John Cena tour so bad, just so poorly. But we were treated to some banger matches along the way. You know, it wasn't all negative. I mean, I still think that Cody Rhodes John Cena match is my favorite match of the entire year. That was freaking awesome that I was able to watch live. So Gunther then came out on Monday Night Raw and got a ton of heat. So the only good to come out of this is that Gunther is actually going to be, like, the next big heel of the WWE. And he came out and he was like, John Cena's a bitch, John Cena sucks, and I made him tap out like a little girl or something. And, you know, at least that's a positive to take out of this. But, yeah, John Cena's gone. Next time you see John Cena on WWE television, he'll be in a suit and tie. He'll not be wrestling. He won't be doing anything. And it really feels like, you know, this is it. This is it. I don't even care if he goes back on his word in like 10 years and comes back for one more impromptu match, but something tells me he's not. Something tells me John Cena is truly done, and a part of me is, you know, happy they were able to give him a good send-off, but at the same time, you know, it's over. It's over, and I love John Cena. He's my favorite wrestler of all time. He's my GOAT. He's everyone's GOAT. He is amazing. He's on the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestlers, and yeah, he defined a generation. So a good send-off to John Cena. At the end of the day, it was all about him. However, making him tap out just makes no sense. It actually makes no sense. And they didn't even give him a proper speech. I know whenever he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, he's going to get a speech, but I mean, come on. We didn't give him a speech. I mean, what are we doing, Triple H? So, yeah, next time we talk about WWE, it's either I'm going to be, for some reason, ranking every something, you know, every PLE, a bunch of every John Cena match, I'll rank something, or if not, the next time we'll be talking about is the Royal Rumble. So, in terms of WWE talk, going on a bit of a hiatus, but yeah, you know, John Cena's retired, and I'm a little sad. If you get on the tone of voice, I'm a little sad. One thing I'm not sad about is the NFL, as the Vikings won. That is right, if you didn't catch NFL Week 15, my Minnesota Vikings finally decided to win a game. They won Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys, officially knocking the Cowboys out of the playoffs, which is pretty funny. Honestly, if you ask me, it is pretty funny that the Cowboys got knocked out of the playoffs because the Vikings won. Vikings were just casually on Sunday Night Football like, yeah, let's just go off and win a game. And J.J. McCarthy actually looked like the future of the franchise, and it was actually like a hot, like a good moment overall. I mean, hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. I do love my Minnesota Vikings, even though we're not going to be in the playoffs. But it's kind of fun knocking out the Cowboys from making the playoffs. Now, that's not actually true. They can still win, as I should say, the NFC East. But that's going to take a lot of work, let me tell you that. As the Eagles had an absolute layup this week, destroy the Raiders 31-0. They now improve to 9-5. And the only way, there is only one way the Cowboys can make the playoffs now, and that is if the Eagles lose out and the Cowboys win out. There is no other way. So, you know, as far as the Eagles' schedule goes for the rest of the year, they have the Commanders, Bills, and Commanders, and something tells me that they will at least win one of two games against the Commanders. So, Cowboys probably getting booted from the playoffs. Sucks for them. I could honestly care less if you ask me. But for the Vikings, you know, if anything, let's just try and win out. Let's try and round out the season, end on a bang. I mean, it wasn't too bad of a win. It was entertaining. You know, 34-26 is such a fun game at the end of the day, high scoring. And we round out the season playing the Giants, Lions, and Packers. So I just want to play spoiler to all the other teams. That's what I want to do. But yeah, it was an entertaining game there. We kicked it off on, in terms of the entire week, on Thursday Night Football with the Falcons beating the Buccaneers on a game-winning field goal. And to make matters even more crazy, the Saints beat the Panthers 20-17. So the NFC South is just a complete toss-up. Buccaneers and Panthers both have a record of 7-7. Right now, the Buccaneers do hold the tiebreaker to be in the playoffs right now. So I'm pretty sure right now, if they finish with the same record, Buccaneers will be in. But the Buccaneers actually play the Panthers in two of the last four. The one tie-breaking game will be against the Dolphins in Miami on the 28th, so that's going to be a must-win game for the Buccaneers. And as for the Panthers, after they are done playing the Buccaneers, or like in between that little break there, they will have to play the Seahawks. So if anything, I really like the Buccaneers' odds of making the playoffs. However, it would be hilarious to see the Panthers make the playoffs. I'll be rooting for both teams just because, you know, whoever wins is going to get smoked by the Seahawks or Niners. Whoever finishes fifth, most likely the Seahawks, is going to be just smoked. So, good, best of luck to both of these teams. But, yeah, my money is definitely going to be on the Buccaneers to win the conference. Or not the conference, their division. If they won the conference, that would be utterly ridiculous. Next up, we have the Ravens beating the Bengals 24-0. And, yeah, Ravens just sneaking away with one at the end of the day. And they were hoping for a Steelers loss on Monday Night Football, but it didn't happen. The Steelers win 28-15 over the Dolphins, officially knocking the Dolphins as well out of playoff contention, although it was already a, you know, long shot for them. In terms of the playoffs right now, Steelers are 8-6 and hold that 4 spot. Ravens are 7-7, and their playoff probability lies in either, you know, somehow miraculously making this 5, 6, or 7, which is not possible. But I think what we really know is going to be possible is them beating out the Steelers. So right now, you know, we're good. The Ravens are hoping the Steelers lose out. That's what they need. Steelers end the year playing the Lions, Browns, and then January 4th, they play the Ravens. So, I mean, it's that you can't write it any better than that. As for the Ravens, they get the Patriots, Packers, and then they play the Steelers. So I really like the Steelers' odds. Ravens just have such a tough schedule, and there's not as good of a team as they were the last few years. But going to be a tough race to the finish. And hey, as far as week 15 went, you know, good wins for both teams. Kenneth Gainwell had a really, really good game on Monday Night Football, and the Ravens actually put a whole package game together, winning 24-0 over the Bengals. Also, on this week, we had the Texans blowing out the Cardinals 42-20 in just a masterclass. They're currently locked in at that 7 spot with a 9-5 record for the playoffs. Colts are hot on their tail, though, with an 8-6 record, so we'll see what they can do. As for the Cardinals, just a bummer year. 3-11, it has not been pretty in the slightest to be an Arizona Cardinals fan. They have lost their last 6 games, and only this...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Week, we're able to cross over the 300-point mark. Now, mind you, there's even more worse teams out there, but yeah, rough showing for the Cardinals. Not many bright spots. I don't know what you do. I think you kind of got to blow up the team. Send away Marvin Harrison, draft a really good running back, because all of yours are getting injured, and, you know, just send away Kyler Murray, too, while you're at it. So, interesting stuff there, but, yeah, great win for the Texans. They're in a battle. They're in a battle right now. You know, there's still a chance they could overtake the division from the Jags, but that AFC South, 10-4 Jags, 9-5 Texans, and 8-6 Colts, it is heating up to a high degree. And speaking of those teams right there, we had the Seahawks beating the Colts 18-16, but Phillip Rivers almost did it, guys. Phillip Rivers didn't look half too bad. Did he look pretty? Absolutely not. But did he look bad? Absolutely not. No, for being 44 years old, for not having played football in, gosh, what is it, 5 years or something, 6 years? He didn't look too half bad, threw a touchdown pass, and at the end of the day, the Colts defense sold. They really did. For how good of a game they had, they just blew it at the end. And Seahawks kick a little game-winning field goal, getting it done. So, yeah, if you didn't know, Seahawks are killing it right now. They are 10-5, and they are hot. Or not 10-5, they're 11-3. My bad, they are hot on the tails of the Rams, who are currently the number one team in the NFC, that is. Now, as for the Jaguars, they beat the Jets 48-20. I mean, that's just not even fair. The Jets are absolutely atrocious. That shouldn't count. The Jets fall to 3-11. They're going to be getting a good draft pick. And as for the Jags, I mean, they're legit. They're 10-4. They're the 3 seed. I mean, we need to put some respect on the Jaguars' name. And Trevor Lawrence put up 44 freaking fantasy points. I mean, what in the world? What a breakout game for the Jags. They'll look to round out their season with a couple wins. They will be playoff ready come January. Other games in week 15 that I'm looking at here, Chargers knock out the Chiefs 16-13 And along those lines, Patrick Mahomes gets injured. So Gardner Minshew going to be rounding out the season, and the Chiefs are officially eliminated from the playoffs. But yeah, great win for the Chargers. They're locked in that 5 seed right now at a 10-4 record. It's going to be them, the Bills, and Texans battling for it. Chargers should be able to make the playoffs, barring any late season mishaps or anything. As well, I mentioned the Bills there. They knock off the number one team, Patriots, who are no longer the number one team in the AFC. Patriots are still the 2 seed with an 11-3 record, but hey, look out. Bills are only a game behind now, and they have a great comeback win, winning 35-31 in New England. Very massive win for them. Other games as well, Commanders knock out the Giants 29-21, and just a battle of two teams that have nothing to play for and are just playing their heart out. I will say is that Jackson Dart balls out so hard at the Giants' defense. Just so bad. Just so, so bad. They're 2-12 now. Commanders are 4-10, so it ain't much better. And we found out that Jaden Daniels, I think, is still going to start the last, like, 3 games for some reason, which I would just rest him if I was the Commanders. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a regular fan. I don't know nothing. I'll tell you what I do know, though, is that the Bears win 31-3 over the Browns. What a win. What a win for the Bears, and they are back in control of the NFC North. 10-4 record. They jump 5 spots. They're now the number 2 seed heading into the playoffs. And yeah, NFC North is a must watch right now. It is insane. Packers, Lions, Bears. It is epic. I absolutely love it. For the Browns, 3-11, and Shador had a rough game. Yeah, Shador had a really bad game. Like, it was not pretty whatsoever. The entire Browns team just ate it. But I really gotta give credit to the Bears because they were looking phenomenal. But yeah, last two games to touch on. Actually, we have a couple more. We can touch on the 49ers and Titans. I do want to say something real quick, is that the 49ers let the Titans put 24 points up on them. There's something going on there with that 49ers defense. 49ers do win 37-24, but they, you know, watch out. Watch out, 49ers, when you round out your season playing some tough games. 49ers are currently the 6th seed, and the Titans, I believe, are still the worst team in the NFL with a 2-12 record. I don't know who they actually consider the worst, but right now, Giants, Raiders, and Titans are all 2-12. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Giants hold the number one pick. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Giants hold the number one pick. So, two other games to talk about real quick here. Rams beat the Lions in an absolute barn burner. I mean, so many good games this week, but this one was really one of them. Rams win 41-34. Just amazing. Just amazing. Rams are locked in for the playoffs now. 11-3. They've clinched a playoff spot. Great work for them. I mean, especially knocking out the Lions, which Lions are going to need to have a big push if they want to make the playoffs. Right now, they are out. They're out of the playoffs, and I mean, it's tough. It's tough because the Packers would have to lose 2 games, 2 of their last 3, and the Lions would really have to win out. So if you're the Lions, you really got to win out. Got to at least have the Packers lose out, and the Bears would have to lose out. So Lions just got to get big, round it out. I know you kind of got a layup taking on the Vikings. I mean, this Vikings team is super beatable, but we're also going to be playing spoiler to look out. And then the other team, Packers, we were talking about, Broncos beat them 34-26, and just such a satisfying win. As a Packers hater, I just felt so good. And with that, the Broncos are the number one team in the NFL. That is right, 12-2 record. First in the AFC West, they believe they haven't officially clinched their division, but if they win this week, I think they might be able to. I don't know. They're only 2 games ahead of the Chargers, so maybe they need to win their next 2 to clinch it. I don't know, but they've been playing phenomenal. Bo Nix is legit. The defense is legit. I love it. People keep saying they have a tough schedule, but when you play a legit Packers team like that and you beat them, man, gotta feel good. So Packers right now are in the 7th spot in the playoffs. They have an 88% chance to make the playoffs. I mean, having that tie, you know, having that draw is really, really crucial in terms of records. So that's everything that went down in week 15 of the NFL season. Heading into week 16, a lot of pivotal games. A lot of pivotal games. Rams, Seahawks. You know, obviously, that's a battle for the division right there. It really is. Rams already in the playoffs, but, you know, they're still trying to win and become the best team in the NFC. Eagles and Commanders. If Eagles win, they are officially into the playoffs. But if they lose for some reason, then the Cowboys would need to win, and there would still be a chance right there. But something tells me Cowboys are not beating the Chargers, as they will be playing them on Sunday. And then on Saturday, Packers and Bears. It's such a critical, crucial game. Going to be exciting to watch. My Minnesota Vikings play the Giants, so it's going to be fun. going to be fun to watch Jackson Dart throw it down against the Minnesota Vikings. I can't even lie. It's going to be entertaining. Bengals and Dolphins go to battle. I mean, Joe Shiesty, Tua Tagovailoa. Just talk about two quarterbacks which have been kind of on the downhill spiral. For some reason, it says Panthers versus TBD. It's the Buccaneers. I have no idea what Google is on right now. But yeah, Buccaneers and Panthers will be playing for literal control in the division. Like, you're literally watching a game where the winner and loser is going to determine who's winning the division. Jets and Saints is just a throwaway game. Bills should have a layup over the Browns, but some tells me the Browns will always pull out a win like that. Chiefs and Titans are playing for nothing. I mean, Gardner Minshew versus Cam Ward. There you go. Jags and Broncos is an absolute barn burner. I mean, that is going to be a fantastic game. And if there's going to be a team that upsets the Broncos this season, it's going to be the Jaguars. Falcons and Cardinals in a little battle of the Burbs. Raiders and Texans should be a layup for the Texans, but don't be sleeping on the Raiders. You know, Genty and Bowers, any moment they could pop off. You also have Steelers and Lions, crucial game for both of those teams. Patriots and Ravens, a crucial matchup for both of them. And we round out with a little Monday, December 22nd action. The 49ers playing the Colts, a crucial game for them as well. So a lot of pivotal games, a lot of crucial games to round out this NFL week. So exciting stuff, good times, and we still have three more weeks left before the playoffs, so a lot can still happen. We'll have to keep you all updated, but I'm going to tell you what I'm about to update you on right now, and that is that I'm nasty at UFC predictions, guys. We end our final event going 10-1, and you guys want to hear our final standings for the end of the year. This is crazy, boys. This is crazy. 345 correct picks, 183 incorrect picks. That is right. We almost went plus 200 on our predictions. That is right. We are over plus 150 correct picks on the year, my best year of picks yet. 2020, not pretty. 2021, a bit better. 2022, a bit better. 2023, 2024, 2025, our best year yet. I'm ready for 2026, guys. Let me just tell you, I know ball. I know ball. Y'all might tell me, oh, Zach doesn't know ball. Zach doesn't know anything about the UFC. Yeah. Yeah, right. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about, and I know how to correctly predict UFC matchups. So, going to dive in, going to go in over my predictions, and just let you know that I know exactly what I'm talking about. Kicking off the final card of the year, we had a women's, of course, as we know, flyweight matchup between Jamie Lynn Horth and Teresa Bleda. And you know what? You know what? It wasn't too bad. Jamie Lynn Horth starches Teresa Bleda, knocking her out in 2 minutes. It was pretty entertaining. It's pretty entertaining, little underdog cash at the start of the night. And the fourth career knockout for Jamie Lynn Horth. I didn't even know this until they revealed it on the broadcast. Did you know she was a former LFA world champion? Get out of town. I didn't know that. Two wins now in 2025 for her. Good year. Good year. She improves to 9-2. She's now 4-2 in the UFC and going 2-0 in 2025, including a finish. Doesn't get much better than that. So big things ahead for Rear Woman's flyweight winner here in Jamie Lynn Horth against who? I don't know. You know, Gabriela Fernandez is on a 3-fight winning streak, and the last woman to beat her was Teresa Bleda back in 2023. And so what I think is that matching up those two would be pretty entertaining. You know what? Why not? Screw it. Do it. Who cares? As for Teresa Bleda, she's now going to be 1-2 in the UFC, and she's been knocked out in both of her losses. So I think they may give her one more shot. She looked pretty rusty here, having not fought in over 2 years, so... You know, having not fought in 2.5 years, I think definitely played a massive impact on this. But who could she fight next? Well, Jamie Lynn Horth just beat Vanessa Demopoulos. Vanessa Demopoulos is on a 3-fight losing streak. If they cut her, they cut her. But if not, let's match her up with Teresa Bleda. Overall, great win for Jamie Lynn Horth. And I'll always take a little knockout. You know it. Next up, Guilherme Pat taking on Alan Frey Jr. in the men's heavyweight division. And it went the distance. Now, despite going the distance, I actually see some hope in Guilherme Pat as he basically threw everything he could at Alan Frey Jr. 64 significant strikes to 33, 73 total strikes to 76. I mean, he leveled into him. He really did. In 7 minutes and 55 seconds was Alan Frey Jr. hanging on for dear life on the cage. But Guilherme Pat was landing big shots. He had Alan Frey busted open, bloody as could be, and he wins a 30-27 unanimous decision. Now, was it anything impressive? No. No. But the thing is he didn't look too bad. He really didn't. He was throwing punches. He was trying to knock him out. And you know what? I think that Guilherme Pat can actually have a shot in the UFC if he can land the correct punch. But I give props to Alan Frey, though. Chin on that guy is phenomenal. Didn't even get knocked down once. I love it. Now, what to do next with them? It's a great question.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Great question. You know, there's a couple other heavyweights on this card. If anything, I just want to matchmake those. Okay, there were six heavyweights on this card. I just want to matchmake all of those guys. Because right now, when I look at the UFC heavyweight rankings, anyone in the rankings would beat these guys on this card, I guarantee. So I'm just going to matchmake Jeremy Patton, Allen Fry Jr. with a couple other heavyweights we bring up in just a second here and also later on. So we're going to do a little bit of matchmaking here and there, but we'll work out where to put them. But overall, good win for Jeremy Patton. Next up, women's bantamweight division as Luiana Santos defends her number 15 spot in the rankings, knocking off Melissa Croden with a 30-27, 29-28, and 29-28 unanimous decision. And 3 of 7 on takedowns for 9 minutes, 21 seconds control time. That'll get it done. Now, round 2 and 3, Melissa Croden landed more significant strikes, but that's because Luiana Santos wasn't throwing anything. She was hunting for the takedowns, taking her down. You know, she attempted a submission in round 2, but that was about it. All right, she got it done, got the win, 2-0 in 2025 for her in the UFC overall. She's 5-1, so certainly going to be fighting up, you know, and I'm definitely liking the number 11th ranked Mara Bueno Silva. She recently pulled out of a fight, so I think giving her a shot against her would be a good opportunity. But for Melissa Croden, on the other hand, I mean, didn't look too bad here. Obviously, she has amazing striking. She goes 1-1 in the UFC, and this is, you know, her second fight in 2 months. I'll give her a bit of grace here. In terms of the women's bantamweight division, we're always going to need more fighters. Let me tell you that, hands down. And Tanara Lisboa is someone who, you know, she recently beat, knocked her out. She's also someone Luiana Santos beat. So I'm going to go all the way back. I don't know who to really matchmake her with. You know, there's always going to be women's bantamweights out there. But as of right now, none really coming to mind. None really coming to mind. Tanara Lisboa is honestly one that I would have liked to matchmake her with, but she's already fought in her. So as of right now, we're going to hold her on standby, Melissa Croden. You just fight a random woman's bantamweight, and we'll get you back moving and grooving in 2026. Next up, your fight of the night. It's funny that this one, fight of the night, because it was kind of just a one-way whooping as Steven the Ass Man Asplund, just kidding, Steven Concrete Asplund, his last name's Asplund, destroys Sean Serif. Round 2 knockout, fight of the night, 170 significant strikes to 66 in a round 2 knockout. I love it. I love it, man. He's from Minnesota. 4 straight wins for him. 6 career knockout. Steven Asplund, you are UFC legit, and I love it, man. Shout out to literally everyone who came off of this most recent season of Dana White's Contender Series, Season 9. They've all won. They've all won since coming in. I think there's a new era of Dana White's Contender Series where these fighters are actually going to come in and actually going to destroy, and I'm seeing it here. Round 1, I mean, Asplund was throwing everything he could. 71 significant strikes of 43. Sean Serif was throwing at him as much as he could. Round 2, Sean Serif dropped off, and Asplund just leveled it up. 99 significant strikes to 23. I mean, that's insane. That is honestly insane. Great win for Asplund here. This was entertaining. This was bloody. And this was just two heavyweights. This is what I wanted Guillermo Patton Allen Fry Jr. to be. Or if Allen Fry Jr. would have engaged, this is what that fight would have been. But instead, you had Sean Serif here just throwing everything back at me. This dude is getting knocked in the face, left, right, and center. And the best part of this, he never got knocked down. The chin on Sean Serif, man. Great freaking work. But Asplund at the end of the day gets it done. Round 2 knockout, and he is truly on to bigger, better things. I mean, I'm ready to see what we do with this guy. I really am. I don't know. Rankings is not next. Nikes is not next in my opinion, but Josh Hokit is fighting in the new year. Josh Hokit has a fight coming up, I'm pretty sure, against Denzel Freeman, if I'm not mistaken. I would love the winner of that to fight, you know, Steven Asplund. That's what I would really like. And as for Sean Serif, I think we're going to give him one more shot, and Guillermo Patton, right there, right for the pickings. I think that's what we're going to do with him. That's what I think I'm going to do with Guillermo Pat, actually. For Allen Frye Jr., I think a heavyweight, a new heavyweight coming off of the most recent series of the Dana White's Contender Series, or a debuting heavyweight. But Allen Frye Jr., I'm actually going to etch out of here. I want to see Guillermo Pat versus Sean Sheriff, and I want to see Stephen Asplund versus the winner of that Denzel Freeman and Josh Hokin fight. That's what I want to do there. But great fight of the night to end the year. Is it fight of the year? No, but it was so entertaining. It's just two heavyweights throwing it down, and it's what we've been missing from a lot of heavyweights nowadays. Next up on the card, featherweight division, as Anderson Brito deals with a little adversity. You know, Anderson Brito was my lock of the night, and Isaac Thompson did not make it easy. Isaac Thompson put up a fight, actually shaved round one off of Anderson Brito, landed three of three, landed two of two takedowns, 2 minutes, 23 seconds control time, actually landed a reversal. Anderson Brito landed three of three takedowns in round one for a minute and a half control time. This was a grappling fest. And that was kind of the entire fight, you know, of this 15 minutes of a fight, 11 minutes of it was fought just on the ground. And round two and three was just Anderson Brito in firm control, going for submission attempts, which I always love to see, going for the finish. But one thing I want to say is that Isaac Thompson, despite getting just leveled on, threw 127 total strikes from his back mostly. So props to him. Significant strikes, 33 of 21 in favor of Anderson Brito. But honestly, this Isaac Thompson guy, all right, I'm going to give him some props. He's ready. He's ready for a legit guy. He's my age. He's 23. And he fought well. He really did fight well, and as far as featherweights goes, you know, there's going to be tough guys out there for him to fight. They'll definitely find a featherweight for him to square down with. Now, whoever that is, I don't know. You know, I can try and think of someone. Oh, my gosh. If Jonathan Pierce is still in the UFC, they might have cut him, but I know he hasn't fought in a while. That would be a fun fight. I'd even throw out the name Andre Feely, Christian Rodriguez. Actually, Christian Rodriguez. Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Thompson. That's what should be next, but Anderson Brito snapping his little losing streak here. Happy to see there's a man that he's going to be matched up with that I'm going to mention in just a second. But who I think he should match up with next is literally going to be on this card. So good win for Brito. It was a grind. It was a hard-fought fight. And for being just like a forgettable decision, a very good decision. Next up, welterweight division. And we welcomed, to round out the prelims, Yaroslav Amosov to the UFC. And he makes really easy work of Neil Magny. Like, really easy work. Like, I was taken aback at how easy he made this look. And props to him. Props to him. Gets his 12th career submission. Gets his 21st career finish. And, yeah, just easy, easy money for Yaroslav Amosov. I mean, quite literally takes him down after failing the first takedown attempt. Or even failing. It was Neil Magny defending it. Gets into side control. Locks into anaconda choke. Sets up perfectly. And Neil Magny's forced to tap. I mean, it is as easy as it gets for Yaroslav Amosov, and especially winning your UFC debut. 29-1 now, and the best part is he's going to be getting a good opportunity. He really is. You know, when I look at the welterweight rankings, Colby Covington at 14, Daniel Rodriguez at 15. I already know they're having Kevin Holland and Jeff Neal fight at 13. I'll even throw out the name Gilbert Burns at 12. From Gilbert Burns down, that's who I want Yaroslav fighting. Really am, and honestly, I know it's not going to happen because I really want to see Gabriel Bonfim take on Leon Edwards or even Joaquin Buckley, but he could fight all the way up to number 9 against Leon Edwards. Like, Yaroslav Amosov has clearly proven that he is as good outside the UFC as he is, you know, in the UFC, so good win for him. As for Neil Magny, I mean, at the end of the day, this is just a really high-level athlete submitting you. So, Neil Magny, continue being Neil Magny, that's all I'm going to say. Look, Neil is, unfortunately, might be on the final years of his career. You know, he's 38. I don't know if he's going to fight to 40, 41, but still in the UFC, still kicking it, and there's a lot of options on what to do with Neil Magny here, and all I'm going to say is the loser of Jeff Neal and Kevin Holland is going to be fighting Neil Magny. That's all I got to say about that. But Yaroslav Amosov, do what you got to do. Give him a high-level name. It could be anyone. If I'm going to pick someone specific choice, I mean, Colby Covington. I think Colby Covington would be a perfect opponent. Let's make it happen. Yaroslav Amosov, what a debut. Then, next up, my only incorrect prediction on the card. Not even mad about it. Not even mad about it. King Green, Lance Gibson Jr., just a all-over-the-place type of fight. It really was. You know, I thought Bobby Green did a convincing job to win. I will say that rounds one and two were, I think Lance did an okay job. They were close rounds. They were just casual striking rounds. The only clear round, in my opinion, was round three for Bobby Green, but, you know, wasn't anything pretty, wasn't anything good. At the end of the day, it's just a split decision where you went, oh, I guess it didn't have to be a split decision. But King Green gets it done, gets the win. If anything, he's not going to be rewarded for this. He's going to be fed to another rising lightweight. I mean, Fairzaim just won. Nazim Sadiqov. Nazim Sadiqov just lost, and I want to see Bobby Green fed to him. That's what I want to see. So that's the next fight I want to make. But guys, legit, let me just tell you this fight. 65-7 strikes to 30. One takedown for King Green. Two takedowns for Lance Gibson Jr. Lance didn't look bad at all. But also, you know, it's King Green. If you're not destroying him, you're not going to go far. So lightweights, there are quite literally unlimited lightweights for Lance Gibson to be matched up against. He'll probably be against a lower level guy. I'd even throw out the name Jim Miller. Like, let's just give Jim Miller, you know, a fight or two in here. We could even go with a little, I'm trying to think. Mahashat just lost to someone. Gage Young just beat Mahashat in China. Let's just make Lance Gibson versus him next, because it's two unranked lightweights, and, you know, you can do whatever you want with them. So King Green gets it done. That's all we have to say. You know, it is what it is. Yeah, that's really all I'm going to say about that. It was mediocre at best. Next up, the heavyweight division's in a rough spot. And this is a clear discrepancy here, as Kenny and Chukwu, loses to Marcus. No, not loses. Draws against Marcus Buchecka. And it was his fight to lose. I mean, oh my goodness. Wins round one. Wins round two. And gets a foul in round two. In a round that Buchecka won, leading to the tie. And, you know, credit to Kenny Chukwu, defended 10 takedowns. Only was taken down 3 of 13 times. Props to him. Props to him. But round one, 19 strikes to 2, 23 total strikes to 3. Marcus goes 2 of 9 on takedowns for 2 minutes and 22 seconds. Kennedy wins round two. Marcus lands his one takedown, gets 3.5 minutes control time. I think it was an eye poke. It was either an eye poke or a low blow. I think it was an eye poke, and Kennedy got a point taken. And then round three, Marcus didn't even attempt to land a significant strike. He basically just got pieced up. I mean, Kenny just wound up on top and was laying little shots in here. This was bad. This was really bad. I don't know if they're going to cut Buchecka. They could, but if I'm going to give him another opponent, I'm going to give him to, oh my goodness, the name is slipping me right now, Mick Parkin. And I know Mick Parkin's ranked, but it's just a matchup I want to see, just because I feel like they have the exact same build, if I'm being honest. Oh my. So I know he's just not ready for that level of competition, but I mean, let's just give him Mick Parkin, because screw it, why not? And for Kenny and Chukwu, you know, I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know. If Talshan Teixeira, for some absurd reason, loses to Tai Tuivasa, make Talshan Teixeira versus Kenny and Chukwu. Just do that to do it. You can even have him fight. I don't even know. Guys, the heavyweight division is so bad. Heavyweight division, it might be the worst division in the UFC, and it's fights like these to just remind you, we need really high-level heavyweights to come to the UFC. Bring Redhead Vera over, bring Nazim Sadiqov. They just had a good fight, not Nazim Sadiqov, Vadim Nemkov back to the UFC. I mean, just clowns. Next up, no idea this didn't win a performance bonus of the night. It's absolutely absurd. Melchizedek Acosta is in the top five fighters for 2025. You may not know who he is, but he went 4-0. In 2025, and knocked out Morgan Sherry with a legendary head kick a minute and 14 seconds in. I mean, legit, lands a head kick. I'm pretty sure he slipped or something in the process of doing it. And Sherry just goes, slumps, fall backwards, doesn't even need a follow-up shot. Legendary knockout from Melchizedek Acosta. And it's his eighth career knockout. This was beautiful. This was one of the best head kick knockouts of the year. I understand that Quinlan Sakyat is probably going to win knockout of the year, like, for my stuff. I mean, his knockout of Nasrat Kaprasrat is just so good. It's hard to top, but this one was just amazing. 4-0 in 2025. Two finishes in round one and a fight of the night, and he's on a five-fight winning streak. All right, and make matters better, he's actually 6-2 in the UFC. Last two losses came in 2023 against Thiago Moises and Steve Garcia. So Melchizedek Acosta, welcome to a ranked opportunity. I don't know against who, you know, with Giga Chikadze, of course, getting booted from the rankings. We're just about to mention that. David Onama's probably getting matched up with someone else. I'm thinking, you know, Dan Ige. You know, maybe a little Dan Ige. Dan Ige is a perfect test for Melchizedek Acosta to see if he's rankings ready. I mean, Dan Ige is one of the most ultimate gatekeepers you'll ever fight in your career, and I absolutely love this. But Acosta, great way to end the year, was the favorite for a reason, and yeah. Amazing work. And as for Morgan Sherry, match him up with Joe Anderson Brito. I think it's meant to be, you know. I'll say Morgan Sherry is so high level, and he is just running into some tough guys. I mean, he's 3-3 in the UFC. His losses, Melchizedek Acosta here, Nathaniel Wood, and Chepe Mariscal. Just some tough, tough guys outside the top 15. So let's have him enjoy Anderson Brito fight, because I truly believe both of those guys are two of the most high-level unranked featherweights. Perfect matchup to make on a fight night in 2026. Next up, Cezary Olukajcic. Thought the guy was a striker. Clearly not. Goes 6 of 7 on takedowns and gets 11 minutes and 15 seconds of control time to defeat Cesar Almeida. Yeah, not entertaining whatsoever. Let me just say that. I mean, Cezary, 1 of 1 on takedowns in round 1, 2 of 2 on takedowns in round 2, 3 of 4 on takedowns in round 3. Just exhausting. Just boring. Nothing more to say here. It's obviously the biggest hole in Cesar Almeida's game, and it's obviously the way to beat him, if you ask me. So, Cesar Almeida is now 4-3-2 in the UFC. Don't really know what to do with him as far as middleweights go. I'm sure there's a fun middleweight we can matchmake him up with. Gosh. I know Cody Brundage is squaring down with Cam Rouston in UFC 325. Winner of that could take on Cesar Almeida, because why the F not? And for Cesary Olukajcic, I mean, hey, dude had a game plan, dude executed, and middleweight division, look out. The younger brother of Michael Olukajcic is on the move. So, Cesary Olukajcic, a lot of options for him. You know, he is a young gun. He's coming in 25 years old, fifth straight win, and what to do with him? What to do? There's really a middleweight leaping out to me, if you ask me. Let me think of someone real quick. Alrighty, and I thought about it, and Chris Curtis, good opponent, good tough guy, hasn't fought since he lost earlier this year. Let's just make that. Even Jack Hermanson, or even Mike DeBeck-Orlby, I don't know. Cesar Olukajcic gets the win, gets it done. It's not entertaining. Let's talk about the entertaining stuff, which was the main event and co-main event. First up, co-main event performance bonus of the night for Kevin Vallejos, who knocks out Giga Chikadze. No one's done it. No one's done it before. No one's knocked him out. And Kevin Vallejos, 6th straight win, 12th career knockout, and he's now a ranked fighter. That is right. Kevin is now ranked at number 13 in the UFC. Great work. Great work, Kevin. Honestly, and this kid, I mean, he's coming in 24 years young from Argentina. He is what we thought. Who's the other Argentinian fighter? Esteban Rivovic. That's what we thought Esteban Rivovic was going to be, and it's exactly who Kevin Vallejos is. I mean, this guy. I wish, he might be debut fighter of the year. It's tricky, you know. Debut fighter of the year isn't as, like, clean-cut as it was last year with Carlos Prates. I mean, I'm going to throw Kevin Vallejos' name in. He might win it. When I do my rankings, he went 3-0 since debuting off the Contender Series. 2 knockouts this year, win over Danny Silva, and this was phenomenal. This was phenomenal. Sets it up perfectly. Hits a spinning back fist to drop Giga Chikadze. And when Giga falls, when he goes in for ground and pound, he pins his arm behind his back and is just landing elbows on his face. I mean, it is so brutal. It's hard to watch. And yeah, Kevin Vallejos is as legit as it comes. As for Giga Chikadze, 3rd straight loss, 1-4 in his last 5. Hasn't won since 2023. I mean, you might as well just cut him. I mean, you could always have Pat Sabatini fight him for some absurd reason. I don't know. But Nate Landry versus Giga Chikadze, there's fights to be made. But as far as Giga goes, I mean, the dude's 37. His time in the UFC has probably come to an end. As for Kevin, I mean, Kevin's on the rise. Kevin Vallejos is legit. I don't know what to do with him. You know, he's ranked number 13. He got, Josh Emmett at 11. Loser of Gene Silva and Arnold Allen could be an option. I don't even know. David Onama? A lot of options for Kevin. Kevin's in the rankings, though. Kevin's in for big 2026. And, you know, the more I think about it, you know, as I look around at everyone who debuted this year, and obviously Kyoichi Horiguchi does not count, Kevin Vallejos might actually be fighter of the year. Rookie of the year. And as I'm browsing the rankings, as I'm looking around, there hasn't really been anyone that's debuted this year and is just, you know, taking the game by storm. You know, obviously Quinlan Sakyad is on the short list. There'll be other fighters to bring up. But honestly, guys, as I'm looking at it, I think we just watched our rookie of the year solidify himself in the final fight of a final co-main event of the year. So, great job to Kevin Vallejos. Obviously, in the next coming podcast episodes, we'll be doing our official awards for 2025, but you may be hearing about Kevin Vallejos, and he may be in for a star-studded 2026. Now, the main event, the final main event of 2025, and thank goodness it delivered. It was amazing. It was amazing. Manel Cape starches Brandon Royval back and forth through the first 3 minutes, and then Manel unloads, knocks down Brandon Royval, which, by the way, By the way, Brandon Royval is not an easy guy to knock down. I mean, he really isn't. And, you know, when he is, when he does get knocked down, he usually fires back with a submission. But here, Manel Cape drops him, lights go out, lands some ground and pound. He wakes back up. He then knocks his lights out again. And then as he's ground and pound, he wakes up again. Ref steps in. You just can't go lights out twice. You just can't. Like, nowadays, I understand we talk about that Chuck Gongo, Pat Barry fight. Nowadays, you can't go lights out twice, and that's exactly what happened, and I love the stoppage. Thought it was a great stoppage from Herb. I mean, just, it's tough for Royval. Really is. Brandon Royval had a rough 2025. Obviously, he was poised for a fight with Mel Cape, then had a number one contender fight with Joshua Van, and looking where everyone's ended up, Brandon Royval has gotten the short end of the stick. He's now ranked at number 4, and Mel Cape is now ranked at number 2 in the division. And, you know, Mel Cape, depending on how long Pantoa's injury, timeline is, Manel Cape is probably going to be fighting Joshua Van next for the title. And you want to know something? I think Manel Cape knocks out Joshua Van. If I'm being honest, I think the only man out here beating Manel Cape is going to be Alexander Pantoa. And how poetic would it be if Manel Cape ends up fighting Joshua Van, taking the belt from him, Pantoa comes back to fight the man who Manel Cape lost to in his UFC debut, Alexander Pantoa? You can't script it any better than that. I absolutely love it. Manel Cape gets his 14th career knockout. Amazing. Really good work from Manel Cape. And also make that his third straight win. Good stuff. Good stuff for Manel Cape. And all three of his last wins have been knockouts. Can't beat that. 2-0 in 2025. Both of them performance of the night knockouts. Both of them main event knockouts. He solidified himself as a stud. And I think the main question now is, you got Tatsuro Taira at number 3, Manel Cape at number 2. I mean, we have a new era of flyweights here coming into the new age, and I'm all here for it. I really am all here for it. I know we just got the news that number 5 ranked Bram Moreno is taking on the number 7th ranked Asu Almabayev. The number 8 ranked Kyoichi Horiguchi is taking on the number 6 ranked Amir Albazi. The division is moving fast, and I absolutely love it. So, final event of the year. It's the best Apex card of the year. It was better than some fight nights this year with crowds. Let me just say, I don't know if I'm going to rank every single fight night. I might. It's tough, but I might rank every Apex, then I might rank every crowd event, and we are for sure going to rank every single fight night main event of the year. But great way to end it. A lot of favorites. A lot of favorites won on this card. I'm looking over this right now. Of course, we lost Jillian Robertson and Amanda Lemos, which kind of sucked. But the only underdog to cash was Jamie Lynn Horth. The only underdog to cash was the first fight of the night. I find that absolutely absurd, but yeah, fun stuff all around. If you weren't aware, let me just update on some rankings movement here. Tristis Duplessis passes Joshua Van in the men's pound for pound for some reason, and Merab passes Tom Aspinall. Okay, chill with that. Obviously, Manel Cape being ranked at number 2 is big. Peyton Talbot is now in at number 11, and it's crazy to think, for my highest rising bantamweight of the year, I might give it to Amin Zabi. I might do it, but honestly, Peyton Talbot redeemed himself. I mean, dude really did redeem himself. And you also got Montel Jackson back in the rankings with the retirement of Henry Cejudo. In weird movement, Shavkat Rachmanov passes Ian Garry from 3 to 2 in the rankings. And Jeff Neal passes Colby Covington from 14 to 13. And other than that, I believe they have Aaron Blanchfield tied with Alexa Grasso for being ranked number 3 in the women's flyweight. Other than that, you know, your final rankings for the end of the year are all solidified and looking pretty good. But yes, that's all I have for you guys for today's episode. With John Cena retired, I'm in a state of mourning, being off of work. I'm very happy. I am sick, though, so that's kind of unfortunate. And with the UFC ending, I need to fill my time with other stuff. But I'm busy. You know, I stay busy every single day. You know, that's just what I do. I'm a little busy boy at the end of the day. But thank you guys so much for listening. And yeah, what a great year of making predictions. It really was. And as we round out this next month, I mean, we're going to be ranking a whole lot of stuff. Let me just tell you, a lot of top 10 lists. Oh my gosh, I got to do my, I'm excited for January when I get to do my top 10 movies of 2025. I forgot I do that as well. So stay tuned, guys. I know I've kind of dropped off of the YouTube, but with work, I've just been so busy. It's really true. I mean, my commute's an hour and a half in the morning and at night. And there's no excuses for this. There are no excuses. Get out there, win the day. And that's where we're going to end it, ladies and gentlemen. Have an amazing rest of your week. I'll see you before you know it. And I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.